Hallelujah. Take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. I feel like going back to this place tonight. A few days ago, the Lord spoke to me in this scripture while Brother Winslow was preaching in this same area. I may have commented to the church about the scripture, but I want to do more than that for a little while tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning at verse 13. And the three eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his three sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn. The next unto him was Abinadab, and the third was Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. But David went in return from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000. And look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage with a hand of the keeper of the carriage, in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And he talked with them. Behold, as he talked with them, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Would the church say amen?
Amen.
You may be seated. Hallelujah. Tonight might be somewhat a little different. I don't have any intention of preaching a long time tonight, but I'm not making any promises. Hallelujah. I want to say something to you tonight, and some of the things that I want to say to you are more than just sermon material. These are things that need to be said and need to be heard. We are living in one of the most wonderful times of the history of this church right now. You are witnessing a time of visitation and restoration by the Spirit and power of God that is beyond anything. Now, I prayed for this, but I had no idea what it was going to be like. Now, something is happening to me. I believe something is happening in your life because something is happening to me. My whole life is being affected by this move of God's Spirit in this place. I am becoming more intoxicated with this wine of God's Spirit than I ever have in my life. Now, there have been times at intervals that I felt like this, but not for a long period of time, such as I am feeling it now. In every service, my expectations are so high that I cannot even describe to you how I feel. Now, there are times, even a few moments ago when I was sitting here and waiting for this time to come to the pulpit, and over these last few days, I have become very grieved and sorrowful at times because I see so many people that don't see this. I see you come day after day, service after service, and sit here. And if you were seeing what I'm seeing, or feeling and experiencing what I'm experiencing, then I don't think you would act like you're acting. I don't think you would be the same person you are. Now, This goes back again to the message God gave us recently of from the goal to the glory. And we talked about three levels of relationship in living for God. One was in the outer court with the laver and the brazen altar and an experience or a level of relationship in brass. And so many of our Pentecostals live in a relationship to God that is a relationship of brass. It's hard. It's hard. Nothing soft and easy and sweet and good about their relationship to God. Everything's hard. It's hard to live for God. It's hard to go to church. It's hard to be faithful to God. It's hard to give to God. It's hard to pray. It's hard to believe God when we live in a level of brass. And then through our consecrations, we move on to a level of gold where the candlestick and the golden altar and the golden table full of bread is ever present. And we live in that state of a relationship of light and bread and gold and intercession. In that state, Sister Julie Mulhern in our Saturday night prayer just a few days ago gave a revelation, another additional nugget in this revelation of relationship when she said in that Saturday night prayer that the Lord had taken her into a place, into a chamber. It was like a sanctuary, a very large sanctuary. And in this place, she said, angels were ministering unto her. But as she passed through this prophetic vision, she went through this chamber and somehow through another barrier. And when she came into this other barrier, it was like coming face to face with a throne. And God was there. No certain form, no certain features, but she knew it was the Lord. And the Lord spoke to her when she moved into this chamber where God was. And immediately, she found herself back out in the first chamber where angels were. And then her vision came to an end. And she said, God, I don't understand this. Why would you show me such a vision? And he said, Julie, there are times when I deal with you and minister to you through angels. It's a glorious and wonderful experience when you move into that holy place where ministering angels, ministering spirits, and angels minister to you the things of my truth and of my kingdom. It's a wonderful thing. But Julie, he said, when you pass through that next barrier, he said, angels did not minister to you. It was me. I was talking to you then. And he said, I only did that to you to let you know that either you can settle to hear from angels or you can press through another barrier and hear my voice. When I speak to you, it's up to you how far you go. I admit to you tonight that I am excited about hearing the voice of angels. We talk about so much. People have said that they have seen angels in various parts of this building. And I won't even point out those places. But they have said they have seen the form of angels or the appearance of angels in this sanctuary. And I am glad. I have never seen one. Or if I did, I didn't know it. I didn't recognize it. I certainly do not doubt that some of you may be blessed to the point that you may literally or physically see an angel in this church or anywhere. And I am very blessed, and I think it would be a wonderful thing to have an experience to have angels come into the house. But wouldn't it be much glorious if we can usher and go through that second barrier into the presence of Almighty God, and God Himself will start talking to us person to person. I'd like to be like Abraham. That's what the Bible was saying when it said God spoke to Abraham face to face. He sent angels to Abraham to give him prophecies and to tell him what was going to come to pass. He sent angels to him. But there were times that Abraham visited with God face to face. Moses visited with God face to face. And I don't mean human face to face, but I mean God Himself did the talking. Hallelujah. But we've never been here before. Every night is a new adventure. Every time we have church, almost every time we have church, Brother Winslow and I go find a place to talk about it. We are nuts. We're absolutely nuts. If people break in on our conversation, we sat at a table this past Sunday night, just he and I in a restaurant, and they come out and fix two or three tables together for another church here in town, and those people come and fill that table, and I resented it. Hallelujah. I want them to put them in another area. But I'll tell you one thing. Not that I resented them or them being there. It's just the fact that I want to talk about some stuff that I really didn't care about anybody else hearing. Because in the first place, they're going to think we're crazy. Huh? We talk about what God's doing here, they think you're crazy. Either you're crazy or you're a preacher worshiper. Huh? Or you're a church worshiper. But I can't stand it. I've got to talk about what God is doing.
Right.
Hallelujah. I don't want to talk to nobody about our pool of Bethesda until the sick start walking out of there healed and God giving miracles. Then I want to talk about the pool of Bethesda. But I just can't stand it. Something's happening to me. Hallelujah. Don't be surprised at any stupid thing that you see me doing in the near future. Crazy thing. Don't think that I'm having a heart attack and dying. If I do pass out over here, let me alone. If I have a heart attack and die, just get me after church. Let me alone. I've never enjoyed God in my life any more than I am right now. And I can't understand for the life of me why everybody in the house can't feel and see what I'm feeling and what I'm seeing. What's wrong? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many of you remember in the past years, you've heard this preacher say there will come a day in restoration when God's revival comes to the church, and if you're not willing to commit yourself to it, you're going to get left out, and we're not going to be charged with it. I'm afraid there are people right here that come to this church. We've got people that are absolutely, I mean, golden saints. Wonderful people that are losing out with God while all this is going on. Huh? That don't make sense to me. I can't relate to that. I don't understand. What did the Lord tell us about that message of from gold to glory? He said, my people are dying in the gold. And the reason they're dying in the gold is because it is the routine that is destroying them. If you live in a routine of just circling your mountain or just circling your problems, I'm telling you, the routine will destroy you. Hallelujah. You've got to break out of the rut and break out of the routine. Hallelujah. Praise God. I wish tonight I could describe to you what I feel and what I'm seeing. God is taking us somewhere. He is taking us to a place that not any person in this building can describe tonight. Hallelujah. I heard Brother Anthony Long pray early this evening when he got to church. God, don't let me be somewhere else when that starts happening in this church. Lord, I want to be right here when you come here, when you work your miracles and show the power of your hand. I want to be right here. I don't want to be anywhere else. I want to be right here. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Almighty God. Isn't God good? So many wonderful things are happening. Almost every day, when the Bible talks about God adding to the church daily, such as should be saved, we are at that place. I can't tell you that it's every day. I just know it's continually. Hallelujah. Things are happening that are... We came yesterday. Brother Troy and Sister Kim called Sister Shirley and I and took us out for a meal. Hallelujah. We come by the church to pick up Sister Kim, and there was a truck, I think it was, parked almost in the door of the church out here. And I said, Bud, who is that? He said, Dad, I don't know, but somebody's down at the altar. There was a young man, how long ago? 3-4 years ago, came to this church about a half a dozen times and then disappeared. And I come in last night, I walked right down here and got down there by him. I want to look at him. Hallelujah. area. Got down by him. I still didn't recognize him. I said, "Do I know you?" He said, "Yeah." He told me who he was. And then I remembered. And he was bawling his eyes out, bent over the altar. I'm talking about what's going on around here every day. What did we say? When the church gets ready, God is going to send the hungry and the thirsty. When the church gets ready, hallelujah, praise God. I'm not opposed. I'm not opposed to door knocking. I'm not opposed to advertising. I'm not opposed to outreach. But I'll tell you one thing. When the church has a red hot Holy Ghost revival, you don't even have room for the people that God sent through the door, because God knows that you are ready to minister to them. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the name of the Lord God. And then we come to this story. It's an old story, and it was a shock treatment to me when God revealed to me what he was saying to me in this story. I picked up the phone and I shared this with a preacher friend of mine, and for a number of days, a number of telephone conversations, we discussed this, and the evening, I'm not sure that he preached that, he called me and we discussed it again. And when I read this, I thought, what a magnificent revelation for the church. David's brothers, three of his brothers, had gone to the war. They had gone to fight against the Philistines with Saul and the army of Israel. While David was tending the sheep, his father Jesse called him in and he said, "David, I want you to take the bread and cheese. I want you to go into the field. I want you to give this cheese and this bread to the captain of the thousand that your brothers are serving under. And I want to know how your brothers are doing." And when David showed up for 40 long days, I think it was, Goliath had marched out on the side of that valley, and he had challenged the armies of Israel to come send a man to come out and fight with him. It's an old story. But there were some things about this story that I didn't realize until I saw it sitting in that chair just a few nights ago. You see, Israel every day during this 40-day period, every day they fought man to man and army to army. Every day they went down in the valley. They filled the trenches with their soldiers. They fought man to man. And the Bible said they shouted. They shouted because of the battle. I'll read it to you again exactly as it is said. The Bible said that David rose up early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. I didn't realize. Somehow in my mind, I'd always thought that Israel was on one side of the valley and the Philistines were on the other side. That giant walked out there every day for 40 days and he challenged them to send a man to fight with him. I never pictured in my mind that the army of Israel and the Philistine army was fighting every day. I didn't see that. Somehow I didn't understand that. Every day it was army pitted against army, man pitted against man. They shouted, and the cry and shout of their battle went up in this valley of Elah. But just when the battle was getting underway, when it looked like somebody might win, hear me well, everybody in this house say, it looked like somebody was going to win. Every time they got to that place, it was then that Goliath showed up, marched out on his perch, stood before the armies of Israel, and the battle came to a screeching halt. And the Hebrews and the Philistines all gave attention to this champion of the Philistines. Everybody listened to him when Goliath shouted his challenge and he said, "Send me a man. Let him fight with me. If he can defeat me, whoever wins in that personal conflict, whoever wins this personal fight between me and your champion will be the champion. That army will be victorious. That army will be victorious. The war will be over. The battle will be won. Whoever wins this fight can go home the victor." send me a man. And David rode up and walked down in the valley when Goliath was roaring his challenge. And you know the story. I'm not here to preach about David necessarily taking a sling and five stones and going out to meet Goliath. But I'm here to tell you tonight a new revelation of this old story. And I'm going to tell you now, and I've said recently in this church, I believe the thing that sets us apart from most Pentecostal churches is that we have a larger percentage of people that are ready to meet God, ready to have a move of God, ready to worship God, ready to pray, ready to believe God, ready to have a visitation of God than any church I know. I believe that's what makes us different. Because I don't believe everybody here is ready. Hallelujah. Deep down in the hearts of about 98 or 95, 99% of these people, you want it. You really do want it. It's in the back of your mind. You don't want to be left out, but you're not ready for it. Hallelujah. You're just here. You come, and I'm glad you're here. Don't quit coming. Don't quit showing up. Hallelujah. I'll keep putting up with your junk. Y'all miss it. Hallelujah. And I'll try somehow to keep my feelings inside. I'll try somehow not to let you hold it and have it. Praise God. Well, y'all looking at me now. Hallelujah. I feel sometimes like a parent. My children have been blessed. All of my children have grown up in the church, filled with the Holy Ghost, except for my son that we lost, all working in the ministry, being used of God mightily. I'm blessed. I don't know why, I'm just blessed. But I sit with so many families that their sons and their daughters have come home drunk on alcohol. I sit with them where their sons and daughters have come home high on some kind of drug substance. I've heard the stories in my heart. I've tried somehow to relate to them when they talk about the pain of their children that are destroying their lives. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I've tried somehow to be compassionate. But when I look at you that show up in church and you're dead to the presence of God and you're dull to the moving of God's Spirit and you're intoxicated on carnality and you're full of lust and you're full of the world, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, and you just simply can't get up and make a move for God, I know what it is to be a parent that sees my children suffering and going down, their lives being destroyed because somebody won't get their attitude straight and live for God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord God. I just thank God for the church that is ready. And I'm going to tell you something. Those of you that are hanging around the edges, you better thank God every day of your life for some believing people that keep this thing hot enough for you to get what you need when you get back. Is that all right? But David went into the battle. Here they were. Swords were clashing. Spears were thrusting. Shields. They were banging their shields together. You could hear the thud of swords against shields. And you could hear the thud of battle axes on the shields. And these men were screaming out their strength. They were screaming out. There's another word. But they were crying because of the battle. The whole valley was full of a roar, a shout, because of the lust of the battle and because of the power of the conflict. They were there shouting and fighting. They were there shouting and thrusting to win their fight. But when Goliath came out and stood in his place and challenged them man on man, the Bible said every one of Israel, every Hebrew, was terrified and fled to their tent. Hallelujah. I want you to listen to this preacher well tonight. How many times have you come in this sanctuary and you have been willing to fight? You have been willing to pick up your portion of the struggle. When it comes time to shout, you shouted. When it comes time to get involved by uplifted hands and by coming to your feet or leaping for God or running the aisles or stepping out in the aisles, you were willing to do it. Hallelujah. And just when you looked like you were going to win, just when it looked like you were going to put things behind you, your Goliath stepped out and you ran back home. You went back home just like you came. I'm here to tell you tonight that you've got to go beyond the struggle. You've got to go beyond the battle. You've got to go beyond the shout. You've got to go beyond the shout. Are you listening to me tonight? Every person in this building, every human being in this building has got a Goliath that every time you shout and every time you start to get the victory and every time you think you're fixing to be a winner, you've got a Goliath that steps out in your life and you have to decide either you're going to turn around and go home and go back just like you came, or either you're going to step out and say, the God that I serve has already given me victory and He's going to give me victory over you tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm just telling you that you just can't shout and you just can't show some physical exertion and get a good blessing and think you got it all behind you and keep running from your Goliath.
That's right. Come on.
You can't keep running from your Goliath. Hallelujah. I believe every time that one person in this building stands up and says, you have pushed me as far as you're going to. I have retreated the last time I'm going to retreat. I have run from you the last time I'm going to run from you. Here is where I stand, and God is going to give me victory over you. Hallelujah. Does anybody in this house know who your Goliath is? Huh? Some of you got Goliath and his brothers you've got to deal with. Hallelujah. Boy, you put some Goliath behind you. This guy has. You have too. Praise God. I saw Brother Eddie down here kicking and jumping the other night. He don't do much of that. Do you know what one of your greatest Goliaths is? It's pride.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Pride. I know, because there was a time in my life I was as bad as anybody. I mean, we were building a church back in Georgia, and there were certain times when some visitors would come, I would hope that Terry Thompson wouldn't scream and have a fit. Hallelujah. We had an incident today. Praise God. Oh, Tina is working this evening. She's on evenings. But Tina Caples, let me tell you folks something. Tina Caples needs your love and support and your prayer. She's had enough on her in the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years of her life. It's a wonder she's even alive.
That's right.
So whatever you do, give her support. Not criticism, not negativism, but give her support.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So Sister Tina had come to see me, and I talked to her, and I made some decisions where she is concerned today in talking with her. And when we got through, I said, this coming Sunday, I said, I'm going to pray for you. And I meant in a special way, whether it be with Brother Winslow or not. But I said, I'm going to pray for you. We got through talking. She said, I'd like you to pray for me right now. I said, okay. And I was in my office, and Sister Terry was out here in the prayer room. You know how she does. I said, come go with me, Tina. We come out here in the prayer room. I said, hold it, Sister Terry. I said, lay your hands on her. And she and Sister Tina went. It was like a bronc riding contest. Out across the floor. I had to go over and get Sister Terry to turn loose of her so she could breathe again. But she needed our prayer. She needs our support. Hallelujah. See, there's some Goliath that has risen up. That's what I'm here for. That's what Brother Winslow is here for. Every night we've been dealing with people to try to help somebody get their Goliath. I'm telling you, you know what he said? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down, pulling down, pulling down, pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination, casting down every high thing that exalts itself against God. Woo!
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the name of the Lord God. Oh, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. But we're going to have to quit having a little shout and a little struggle. And then when your Goliath steps up and says, let's do it man to man. And you say, I can do it with a crowd, but I can't do it man to man. I can deal with my enemy when I'm in the crowd. I can shout when I'm in a crowd. But when you stand up and challenge me one-on-one, I can't handle that. I'm trying to tell you something good tonight. I'm trying to tell you, oh, hallelujah. You know, when my greatest victories don't come when there's full 500 people in this place shouting. That's just a good feeling. That's a good feeling. Hallelujah. We are just living on a feeling. We're opposed just living by feeling. There's got to be some truth along with that feeling. Got to be some promise along with that feeling. You can't just live on a feeling. You know the old story. When Isaac was dying, he called in Esau. And Esau was his firstborn. He had twin boys. Esau was born first. Jacob was born second. But Jacob was born with his hand around his heel. Esau didn't want the birthright, sold it to Jacob for a bowl of stew, and God just shifted Jacob up to the birthright position, put him in the place where he would get the blessing. And so Isaac called Esau in, and he said, "Son," he said, "go out in the field, kill some venison." Well, I'm telling you, that guy must have been some kind of hunter, Jay. Go get a deer, son. Come back. You know, as if there's nothing to it. Apparently it wasn't. So while Esau was gone, Rebekah called Jacob in and she said, "Jacob, I want you to have this blessing." You know that old story. He said, "But Mama, I don't know how to fix that stew." She said, "That's okay. I taught Esau how to fix it. We'll take care of that." But he said, "Mama, my skin is smooth. I'm not hairy like Esau is." She said, "I'll fix that too." And so she took part of the skin of that goat, wrapped it around his arm so he would have a hairy arm. That gives an old story. So here comes Jacob. Esau hadn't got back yet. Here comes Jacob. He's got a pot of stew and a goat skin wrapped arm. So he comes in and Isaac asked him. He said, "Who is it?" And Jacob said, "It's Esau." He said, "Come over here." And he said, "Put out your arm." And when he put out his arm, he felt of that old goat skin. He said, "Son," he said, "the voice is that of Jacob, but the flesh is that of Esau." He said, "You feel like Esau, but you sound like Jacob. I've got a message for you tonight, honey. And that's when the word don't match with what you feel. You better forget about what you feel.
Come on.
Because we can't live for God on just feeling. Sometimes feeling will deceive you. But I'm here to tell you, if it's by the word of God, if it's by the promise of God, the feeling is going to be right. You won't be deceived and you won't miss your blessing if you'll match the word and the promise with the feeling. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not even going to try to identify some of your Goliaths tonight. I'm not going to pick them out. I could name pride. I could name hate, rebellion. I could name disobedience, carnality. I could name so many things. You know what your Goliath is. Praise God. I heard someone say a few days ago, and I'm going to quit. As I told you, I didn't intend to preach 2 or 3 hours tonight. But I heard someone say a few days ago, and this is a powerful statement. And that is, when God baptizes you with the Holy Ghost, He will baptize you with obedience. And if you don't get a baptism of obedience, you better go back and get the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. And if you want me to qualify what obedience is, it will be qualified by every one of you by your own personality. Whatever your Goliath is what you need to deal with. Hallelujah. Is that all right? But I'm telling you tonight, we have shouted, we have kicked the pews and kicked the walls, And Sister Terry's having a fit, keeping all the burn marks off the carpet up here, where we are having a time. Holy Ghost is moving. Lives are being changed. But I'm here to tell you, until you come to grips with and until you are willing to deal with your Goliath, all of your shouting will never get you the victory. Hallelujah. I don't even know what my Goliath is tonight. Maybe my Goliath is a little bit of pride. I don't think so, but it could be. I don't know what my Goliath is, but I'm here to tell you tonight, it don't matter to me what he is. It don't matter to me who he is. It doesn't matter to me how big he is. It doesn't matter to me how many of them there are. I am set on fire by the power of the Holy Ghost, and I've just got a feeling tonight that anything in the world can happen. Hallelujah. We keep thinking about what is it going to take us to the next level? What have we got to do to go to the next level? That is exactly where we are. There's nothing wrong with our shout. Nothing wrong with our struggle and our fight. Nothing wrong with our faithfulness and obedience. There's nothing wrong with that. But the fact is, if we're going to claim the victory, we're going to have to deal with our Goliath. Hallelujah. Whatever it is. Whoever he is. Whoever he is. We're going to have to deal with him. Hallelujah. And then we can have the victory. Not only can we have the victory, but the people around us will have the victory as well. Because victory is contagious. Because victory is intimidating. Once you get victory over a spirit, other spirits fear your victory and flee from you when you rise up and say, I won't put up with this anymore. I do believe that you have the authority to lay hands on your children. I don't care if they're teenagers or young adults or if they're babies. That you have the authority to lay hands on your children and say, just tell the devil where to get off. Just tell him where to get off. I think you have the authority to claim souls. Amen. To speak it, and God will honor it, and it will come to pass.
Right.
Hallelujah. I feel that in the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Whatever you do, don't sit here in this time of visitation and be left out.
Right.
Whatever you do, because the time will come, it will come, the time will come when you won't be able to get it back. And the church is going to go on. The church is going to go on. Hallelujah. I had a talk. I see Sister Pauline sitting back there tonight by Brother Strange. And she came into prayer this past Tuesday morning. I think it was Tuesday morning. And she came into prayer, and I got to talk with her. I look at people like Sister Pauline. And here's Jack. Jack can speak in tongues in his sleep. He's got it in his sleep. He just can't break out in here. There's Jack. There is Sister Pauline. And Sister Carter's husband, Brother Carter. I don't know if he's ever had the Holy Ghost in his life. He loves this. He wants the Holy Ghost, but he's just never had the Holy Ghost. And we got people like that. And a few others. Here lately, it looks like old Scott's about to get prayed through down here. He's been sitting here, and finally it looks like he's just about to get prayed through. Praise God. Oh, I'm almost tempted to tell you what I heard today, but when I say stuff like that, I get in trouble. Hallelujah. We've just got to deal with our glass. We can't just shout, and we can't just come down here and physically get involved. We're going to have to deal with Goliath. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord God. I'm going to do this one. I got permission to do this one today. And I told somebody a few years ago when Chuck Laurent came to this church. Wanda Laurent came, received the Holy Ghost back part of this church in one of our services. She went home, in her home, prayed Chuck through to the Holy Ghost in their home. Those two people attended a church here in this community. And in the next few weeks, maybe over the next few weeks or months, those two people, Chuck and Wanda Laurent, prayed 37 adults through to the Holy Ghost. Sister Maud Joner was one of those. Sister Peggy was in on that, in that group. I'm not even sure who else. I know that, can't even think of their names now.
Kathy and Robert, they were part of that. But they were part of that group. But while all this was going on, Chuck Laurent had a terrible, terrible addiction to nicotine and smoking cigarettes. Well, I really didn't know it for a while. And so one night after, I don't know how long, a year or 2 years, I don't know how long it was, he came to me in the prayer room. And he said, "Brother Shirley, I have got to be delivered from smoking cigarettes." I said, "Okay." Laid my hands on him, and God showed me a vision. And I told the church, when I laid my hands on him, I saw cigarettes pouring out of his mouth. It was like they were just spewing out like a fountain. And that man never, as far as I know, never had another problem with that after, up until the time, the last time that I knew that much about him. But God delivered him. You see, you're not gonna be freed from your hang-ups until you deal with them. As long as you run from them and try to hide them and push them under the rug, you're not going to have victory over your Goliath. If you've got a problem, let's get it out here so we can deal with it. Hallelujah. I told there, Brother Anderson sitting back there tonight. Here, Susan sitting up here. I told whatever her name is, Cindy, if Cindy Anderson makes it, if she makes it, and I believe she's going to make it, if she makes it, she'll be one of the greatest miracles that ever took place in this church. Y'all don't believe it? One of the greatest miracles God ever gave to this church. Hallelujah. And we've talked about it. We talked about it today. And when she talked to me, I said, "Will you give me permission to say this?" She said, "Yes." She come to me and you see, she said, "Brother Shirley, these things are happening in my life. I can't explain this." I said, "You are withdrawing from a trip. God's healing you. He's healing your life, healing your mind, healing your spirit." She said, "I've got a problem, and I'm fighting it, and it's almost bigger than I can handle." She said, I can't kick the smoking habit, and I want to kick the smoking habit." I said, "Let me say this when I preach tonight." And some of you would look at it and say, "That's embarrassing." No, you need to get rid of your stinking pride. When your Goliath is hindering your victory, you need to deal with your Goliath. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you tonight, there's a bunch of people in this church that's hiding your failures. You're hiding your failures. You're putting your failures under a rug. Your obstacles are being hidden somewhere in the dark corners of your life, and you won't deal with them. And God's not going to deliver you until you're willing to face your Goliath. You can shout all you want. You can talk in tongues. You can win souls. You can be faithful to church, pay your tithe, and live right. But if you keep running from your Goliath, you will not have the victory. You will not have the victory. So tonight, I'm not just trying to preach you something dynamic. I'm not just trying to rally you to respond. I'm telling you tonight, this is the key for another step for this church. Because if you are willing to face your giant, we're going to conquer that devil, and we're going to go on to another level in victory and God's blessing in our lives. Hallelujah. Let's sing a chorus. Before anybody stands, let's sing it just a minute. I'm not just trying to kind of tickle your feelings tonight. I'm trying to challenge you. if there is a person in this building that can relate to what I'm saying, and you know there's a Goliath in your way, and you have not yet conquered that resistance in your life and that enemy to your victory, you know what it is. If it's one or more, or ever how many it is, and you know that what I have said tonight is true, they're going to sing this chorus again. And if you know that you've got a Goliath in your life that needs to be dealt with, I challenge you to stand up in your own words, in your own prayer. Simply say, I have run as far as I'm going to go. I have fled from your threat the last time that I'm going to do it. I stand here tonight, and the God that has blessed me will give me victory over you tonight. If you know about a Goliath in your life, while they sing this song, I challenge you, stand up, lift up your hands, and declare your position. Declare where you stand. Honestly stood to their feet tonight saying, there is a Goliath that I'm having to deal with, and I am willing to deal with it by the Spirit and power of God. You have stood to your feet tonight, and you have declared that this is where you stand, and you are going to be victorious. I feel an anointing of God going out into this place tonight. I feel a spirit and presence of God moving for the people in this place. They're going to sing it again, and this time you lift your hands and shout. You shout your prayer and shout your faith and say, God, I claim this victory over this thing that's been troubling my life.
Somebody come out and pray for mine.